Amos, if you have your Bible, and you'd like to read with me. Book of Amos, the 8th chapter. And verse 11. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for your blessing in our life. Touch us this morning. Let the words that we speak, O God, be directly from you. Fill our heart with your loving passion. We pray in Christ. Amen. This particular sentence can be taken several ways. Amos wrote it. The days are coming. When I will, God says, I will send the famine. Not a famine will come, but I will send it. And it's a famine, not of hunger for bread or thirst for water, but a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. Give me just a second here. In this particular verse, what he's actually talking about, sometimes we quote this verse and say, well, there's going to be a time when people are not going to be able to hear God's word, although it's being spoken. But that's not the proper interpretation of it. Proper interpretation of this verse is, and Jesus is actually saying that the days will come when I will send a famine in the land. And that famine is going to be a famine of anyone who knows or can share the word of the Lord. That's the famine. I said this one night during the convention, and I still want to touch on it a little bit. It's amazing to me how many people in the church, especially in church world, that come to church every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday night, if they can, they're there when we have open meeting, they're there. At the same time, they love the Bible, they love the Lord, they love the things of God. But somehow they have never taken it upon themselves to really find out what it takes to win somebody to the Lord. We've kind of got this thing backward. We got a system going, and it seems to work, but it's working the wrong direction. It's not working the right direction. What we've kind of come up with in the past few years is that we'll all get together and we'll build a church. Hire a pastor, and then it's his job to win the lost. Years ago, I was praying, seeking the Lord about the way the church grows and so on, and the Lord just dropped something in my heart I'll share with you this morning. He said, it's not the shepherd that has sheep, it's the sheep who has the sheep. And I began to realize that the opportunity to listen to the Lord and obey Him is being just completely rejected, for the most part, among believers. Now, you always have the believers who want to do something for God. They're eager to do something for God, and they'll get out and try. That's good. But on the other hand, you have multitudes of people inside the church walls that absolutely have no idea what it's like to bring another person to the Lord. Now, you might stop and think for yourself because you've been around here for a while. Oh, that's real easy. Well, it might be easy here, but in a lot of places you go, it's not easy. There's the responsibility of the pastor is to keep the sheep and to see that they're fed. The responsibility of the sheep is to repopulate the sheep that are taken from the fold. And until we turn this around, we are going to be ignoring what God is saying. We're going to ignore it. I was thinking as I was writing my notes this morning about when I used to spend a lot of time in the ocean, running back and forth, swimming, diving, all this kind of stuff. And one of the things I was good at was swimming against the current. Not with it, but against it. A certain place that we fished, the water went through there. I mean, lickety split, just fast. And if you're going to fish there, you had to be faster. And the only way to get out to the fishing spot was to go down past the bridge, go out in the water, and let the water carry you out there to it. Then you'd fish all along the pilings and places where fish would hide. When you get to the other end of the piling, or the pilings, then you had to head back toward shore. And you let the current carry you. Of course, you would go in sideways, but the current was carrying you back to the bank. And a lot of people didn't know the secret of it, and a lot of people drowned out there over the years. They just weren't paying attention to the way that it ought to be done. When we go against the tide, there are always those people that say, look, we're all going this way. You ought to go this way. But instead of going against or with the crowd, a lot of you have learned, especially here, that the crowd is not always right. And very often when the crowd gets together and votes on it, they're going to go the wrong direction. They're going to take the wrong steps. So what God is, I think, working on in our lives is to bring us to a place where every single one of us are soul winners. Every single one of us. We don't mind sharing Christ with people. We won't mind going out of our way to help somebody that's in need and so on like that. But this is what the church needs. Now, whenever I was writing these notes, some of them didn't seem to go together too well, but I felt like that was what God wanted me to say this morning. We are in a day right now when there's a lot of preaching, but there's not a lot of preaching of the truth. And that's the difference. There's not a lot of preaching of the truth. It's the preaching of the truth that causes people to turn around and start going on with God. But whenever we preach what the crowd wants to hear, and we preach for their amusement and their amazement, whatever it might be, we are pandering to their wicked desires, which means there's something within us that God needs to correct. There's a moral compass somewhere inside of us that needs to be recalibrated. I want to get to the Apostle Peter here pretty quick. You know, the Apostle Peter followed this same basic pattern. He was one of the members of the hierarchy in the church of Jerusalem. And God sent him on a journey. And in the midst of that journey, the Lord let down a sheet before him three times. And on that sheet was all manner of creeping and crawling beasts, things that they were not allowed to eat physically. And three times, Peter said no to God. No. I'm not going to preach that. But on the third time, the Holy Ghost just overrode Peter. And the Holy Ghost just came out into the congregation and filled Cornelius' house with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, now, that's only the beginning of the story. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. Well, Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and he tells the people in Jerusalem what happened to these Gentile people. And all of them become adamant that he did the wrong thing. One of them went so far as to say, "Why did you give the Holy Ghost to those people? They don't deserve it." And Peter said, "I didn't do it. I was just preaching," and bam, it came. He tried to explain the vision to them, and most of the people in Jerusalem kind of felt like either his vision was out of touch with God, or he was out of touch with God, one or the other. And he just about lost his position. But when we look back on it now, we understand that was God, don't we? We understand that what Peter did in obeying God and going to the Gentiles opened the door, ever how reluctantly it was opened. It was opened by Peter to minister to the people of his day and his hour. And this was the majority of the people in Jesus' time, or just right after his time, that suffered such great persecution. They were persecuted by the church itself. They were persecuted by Rome. They were persecuted by the Jewish community. They just didn't seem to fit in anywhere. But Peter, he went back and he apologized for giving them the Holy Spirit. I didn't do anything, you know. I was just there preaching, and the Holy Ghost fell out. Fell on them as it did on us at first. So they dropped it and realized that God had included the Gentiles in the covenant of the new birth. And really, the way that they were interpreting the covenant that Christ had just died for was that he was the fulfillment of the law. And so whatever he did was to fulfill the law, and it had nothing to do with the Gentile church. But as we learn later on, that was not true. God saved Paul as a special messenger to the Gentile, didn't he? And when you look at all the other apostles that were there, they sent them out in groups of two to preach. And they went far and wide. I mean, they went everywhere. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. But it was the Gentile that responded to it. Amen? It was the Gentiles. These other folks had sat in church all their life, heard the gospel preached over and over and over again, but still never heard the voice of God saying, reach out for the Gentiles. Never. Whenever Jesus told the disciples, just before his ascension, he said, I'm going to go, but God's going to send the Holy Spirit back to you and be endued with power from on high and be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. Now, all they heard was, we want you to be a witness to every Jew in the world. They did not take into account that the Gentiles were going to be saved. Took a special revelation from God to reveal to Peter that he needed to manifest his efforts toward people who were Gentiles. And of course, when Paul came along, he picked it up and ran with it. But the idea that we can just go to the scripture and pick a scripture out and try to use it is false. It's a very false idea. We need to have God explain to us the scripture. And to understand it from God's point of view, not our own. Now, I know dozens of people who have this other problem. Well, they go through the scripture and read it and write, mark down pages and so on like that. And they do it for one thing, because they want to be able to know where that scripture is again so they can push it in God's face. Well, God, you promised me this, now you got to do it. But that's not the way it works, is it? It only works when God wants it to work for the situation, for the person, whatever it might be. If I sound a little weak today, I am. I got out and mowed four lawns yesterday. And took every bit of strength I had to get off the lawnmower and go in the house. And I've still not got my strength back today, but we're working on it, all right? But I just wanted to share this with you this morning. Let's not allow ourselves to be put into a position where we cannot hear the Word of God. I asked myself, well, now, why is it that God stops sending people with the Word of God? And the obvious answer is, well, the people that are being sent have been corrupted or never knew the truth to begin with. And that they may be dynamic speakers and very gifted speakers, but yet they fall short of preaching the truth. Janet was telling me a few days ago about some person that came over to Starkville to preach. And this gentleman was preaching that you're so spiritual right now that you could actually walk through walls. Now, there's only one person I know of that ever walked through a wall. That was Jesus Christ. Amen. And if the disciples ever walked through the wall, I'd like to read about it. None of them ever did. Jesus had a glorified body. We don't. And this guy was preaching that you're about to get this glorified body thing, and you can just walk right through walls and do what you need to do. Now, there was a lot of people from Columbus that went over there and were all excited about this. I've been to churches where people get really excited about hearing something new, something entertaining, something that makes them think they have more power in their life than they have. But eventually, these people will fail. They will always fail. Whatever their plan was, it's going to fall apart. Because it's not built on truth. Not built on truth. Paul tells us the last enemy to be destroyed is going to be death. And the last I heard, he was still around here somewhere. Amen. He'd been knocking on my door for a while. We have to take the time to ask God to give us discernment about what people preach, so that we will know when they're not preaching the truth. The Apostle John said, you have that anointing with you. No, you don't need anybody to teach you. Now, he didn't mean that they didn't need teachers. What he meant was there were itinerant preachers traveling around teaching. And he was saying to them, don't pay any attention to these people who are coming around all the time because they're not preaching the truth. So if we're going to truly walk with God in this last day, and the closer it gets, I think probably the more difficult it's going to be. But the Bible does say he who holds on to the end, the same should be saved. And we want to make sure that our relationship with God is sure and steadfast. And that we know the voice of God. That we, when we hear the voice of God, we know it. And we abide by it. Because if you don't, you will open yourself up to a false spirit. 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes and says, for this reason, God shall send strong delusion among them, that they may believe a lie and be damned, who loved not the truth and took pleasure in unrighteousness. So, I don't care how good something sounds. Whenever Eve was taken to the tree of knowledge, there wasn't one thing about the tree that she saw that was bad. It looked good to her. It was supposed to taste good. It was supposed to be one to make one wise. And so when she ate the fruit, it was only after she ate the fruit that she realized what she'd done. God does not have to give you a list by list, a word by word instruction form on not what to do. If you let him speak to your heart in little things, he will speak to you in the big things. And later on, as you grow in the Lord, when he speaks to you about the bigger things, you're going to know which direction to go. You're going to know which way that God has truly chosen for your life. And when you do that, you will defeat Satan. Amen? Praise God. I'm almost done. Just bear with me a minute. I love to hear the voice of God. There's something about it that just sets my spirit on fire when he speaks to me. But very seldom does he interrupt me when I'm watching television or when I'm doing something else. It's usually when I'm praying that God begins to speak to me. And I just say that this morning to encourage you. One of the reasons that of this famine that's coming is people are not reading their Bible. As I said the other day, and I'll say it again, we have multitudes of people in the church that are absolutely ignorant of how to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. The simplest thing in the church, bring somebody to Jesus Christ. And we have multitudes of people in the church world today that just absolutely do not know how to win a soul to Christ. It'll be the grandest and greatest feeling you ever had once you win somebody to the Lord. It really is. I remember the first person I won to the Lord. It just tickled me up one side and down the other. She was Miss Valdosta State. She came to a church in Waycross, Georgia, where I was preaching, and she got saved. And got a good case of it, too. And I remember how exhilarated I felt in my spirit after it was all done. That the mere words that God gave me to speak caused her to be touched by the Holy Spirit and drew by the Holy Spirit. So, I just want you to think about this morning in the context in which it's given. The famine that is coming and is now upon us is a famine of very few people around who are willing to preach the truth. And that's exactly what's happening. There are others that preach part of the truth. They twist it, they distort it. And they get hundreds and thousands of people to come to their church by twisting it. But I just don't believe that's going to stand judgment day. I just don't believe it's going to stand. So I want to encourage you this morning. Take time, not only just to study God's word, but to ask God what it means. Let him explain it to you. Because that's the way that truth comes into your heart. And when God puts that truth in your heart, he will make a way for you to use it and bless other people. Amen? Amen? All right. I guess I've gone about as far as I can this morning. We'll have our eating meeting tonight at, 6:30? All right. We got a lot of food left from the convention, so come back tonight and we'll all have a great time eating over here in fellowship, and amen. They did that in the Bible too. Amen. But keep in mind what we said this morning. Don't be fooled by half-truths. Listen for the whole truth. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to explain this morning the necessity of not just taking part of the word of God, but the whole message. Help us, God, to, in any way possible, allow that revelation to touch the lives of other people and bring them to Christ also. We pray in Christ. Amen. God bless you.